Gospel of John is different because it's written much later, and it's written in a very different circumstance than the other Gospels. And that is important to us. I think it's important to us for a couple of reasons. First of all, because John says some things that can be misunderstood if you don't understand that point about the book. And second, because only the writer John, tells us about the whole end of the first century. And that subject, by the way, has been on my mind. That's kind of why I chose this subject today, because I'm working on a different related subject for next month. But the Gospel of John is the only thing that we have from the end of the first century. Most of the New Testament was written in the early 50s to about the mid-60s A.D. You can start with the early books like the letters to the Thessalonians, early 50s onward to the letters of Paul to Timothy, and the letters of Peter in the late 60s A.D. Almost the entire New Testament is finished really early, you know, by the mid-60s, before the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. And unfortunately, the book of Acts is particularly, it's unfortunate, the book of Acts ends in the early 60s, before the deaths of Peter and Paul, before the destruction of Jerusalem, before the split between the church and Judaism. And most unfortunately, before all the great schisms that racked the church in the end of the first century and on into the second century. Now, we have to turn to the writings of John for all those things. So the first thing I wanted to point out today was that the Gospel of John is indeed written much later than the other Gospels. The Synoptics were generally assumed to be written, judged to be written around 60 A.D. But John was probably written around 90 A.D. And how do we know that? Well, there's tradition. Tradition has it that John lived to a great age. How do you pronounce it? Epiphanius. Epiphanius wrote in the 300s that John died at the age of 94. And Jerome, also writing in the 300s A.D., says that John lived to be 100. And tradition has it that John wrote the book of Revelation when he was 90 years old. But that's tradition. I mean, you can't fully rely on the writings of the church fathers, quote unquote. But you can find evidence that this is probably true in the Bible itself. Several points. A, the book of John, the Gospel of John, is solidly connected to the epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and to the book of Revelation. And I won't go into all that. But there are a lot of similarities that show that they are the same author. And the book of Revelation was explicitly written when the church was not in Palestine, when instead John was on the island of Patmos off the coast of Ephesus. So that's one indication that the writings of John were quite late. Another one is that there's no Olivet prophecy in the Gospel of John. You know, the Matthew 24 prophecy and the similar sections of Mark and Luke are where Jesus warns of the coming destruction of Jerusalem, warns that when you see the army surround Jerusalem to flee. But when John writes, he doesn't write that down. There apparently is no reason for him to write that warning. John does point out that Jesus fully expected the temple to be destroyed. As I'm talking about John, I should turn there. John chapter 4, verse 20, for example. He does expect the temple to be destroyed. Jesus is speaking to the woman in Samaria in John 4, verse 20. Our fathers, she says, worshipped in this mountain in Samaria. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus replies, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Because he knew that the temple was going to be destroyed. But there is no mention in the book of John about fleeing when you see the armies surrounding Jerusalem. Because John is writing 20 years after the armies had already surrounded and destroyed Jerusalem. Also, Peter's death is noted in the book of John. At the end of the book of John, chapter 21, a couple things at the end of the book that indicate how late John was written. 21:18, breaking into it, it says, "But when you are old," he's speaking to Peter, Jesus speaking to Peter, "when you're old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird you and carry you where you would not." Thus he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. Christ is prophesying how, John is recalling that Jesus told Peter how he would die, or that he would die at somebody else's hands. That would be significant in the 90 AD when people knew about Peter's death. And going on, there's an indication here that John was of great age when he wrote this in verse 21. Peter seeing him, and John is writing of himself here, so that him is John. Peter seeing John says to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" You know, what will happen to John? Verse 22, Jesus says, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow me." And when this saying then went, this saying abroad among the brethren, the church believed, in other words, that that disciple, which was John, should not die. But yet Jesus said not to him, and so John is clarifying what Jesus said. He didn't say he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? So he's clarifying here that Jesus did not say that John would not die before Christ's return. Apparently, though, some Christians in the 90s thought that Christ's return was imminent because here was John, very old, and he hadn't died yet. But surely he would die soon, and they thought Christ would come before John died. So John is clarifying here. But that's an indication that John was indeed very old when he wrote this. Probably in the 90s, as tradition holds. The second thing to notice about the book of John that is significant is that it, and in fact it illustrates that it, again, that it was written late, is that there's a great distancing between Judaism and Christianity in the book of John. You know, some people who consider themselves to be Christians think that we should really avoid anything that's Jewish. Don't do anything that's Jewish. Do things that are Christian. Right? Stay away from the Sabbath and the holy days. And they'll highlight verses in the book of John that say things like, there was a feast of the Jews, or the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. See, that's a Jewish feast, not a Christian feast. Why does John say that kind of thing? Well, because this was written late, when there was a separation between the Jews and the Christians. You know, while the temple in Jerusalem still stood, the apostles went there and taught there and prayed there. And the apostle Paul taught and converted people in the synagogues throughout the Gentile world. But all that changed after the end of the New Testament writings, except for John, in the 60s. Of course, Roman armies invaded and destroyed Judea and Jerusalem and the temple. And there was a great hatred against the Jews, especially after that time. The church in Jerusalem fled to Pella, over in the biblical land of Gilead, east of the Jordan. And then from there, apparently, John moved on later to the city of Ephesus. But what about the Jews? The Jews who survived that destruction of the temple moved to the coast, the Mediterranean coast, a town called Jamnia, near present-day Tel Aviv. And there were no scribes or Sadducees left. The Jews that survived, the strain of Judaism that survived, was Pharisees, and they set up the Sanhedrin in Jamnia. And this was the roots of what we call Judaism today. And though the early Christians had continued to pray and fellowship in the synagogues, they began to separate after that time. There, for example, was a prayer called the Birkat Haminim, which was a curse against the heretics, which was written under the auspices of one Gamaliel II, who presided over the Sanhedrin at Jamnia in the years 85 through 115. It was just shortly after John's gospel was probably written. 85 to 115, they pronounced a curse on the heretics, and this prayer was added to the service of the synagogue then in the 80s or the 90s AD. And it prevented anyone of a heretical faith like Christianity from speaking from reading in public in the synagogues. Growing separation, the Jews against the Christians. So, and John writes of this, not directly, of course, but he hints three times in the book of John. John writes about being put out of the synagogue. John 16, verse 2. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he does God service. So there was, by the time of the Gospel of John, there was a growing barrier between Judaism and Christianity. And on, from the other perspective, the Christians wanted to separate themselves from the Jews because of, they didn't want to be the object of the anti-Semitism, the hatred of the Jews that was in the Roman Empire. So that's another basic thing to watch for when you read the book of John, is the separation between Christians and Judaism. And thirdly, notice John's battle against heresy. Mr. Black got me thinking about that a couple weeks ago when he gave the sermon about Christ being man and Christ being God. The New Testament spends a lot of time fighting against heretical teachings that were taking over the church, and I think they're of particular interest to us from our vantage point, heresy. How did all these non-scriptural ideas become part of nominal Christianity? Well, the book of John is particularly, and all the writings of John are particularly important to us from that point of view, because the heresy only got worse and worse, and John is the only writer at the end of the first century. Apparently there were many writers. I shouldn't say the only writer, the only apostolic writer. There were the Gospel of Judas, that we've heard of recently, the Gospel of Barnabas, many writings, but many of them spurious, heretical. Apparently there were so many that the church could only agree that the only letters, the only writings that should go into the New Testament were those writings of the apostles themselves. And the only apostle who had writings at the end of the first century was John, the aged, living in Ephesus. So we have John writing against these heretics at the end of the first century. He speaks very directly against them in his epistles, especially. It's well known, of course, that the epistles of John at the end of the first century are addressed against heretics. For example, in 1 John 4:3, he speaks against false spirituality. I think Mr. Black may have read this one 2 weeks ago. 1 John 4:3, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. And also the book of Revelation speaks very directly against the heretics of the time. For example, in the second chapter, he writes against those who hold the deeds of the Nicolaitans. In the epistles and in Revelation. Well, the Gospel of John was written at the same time, with the same background, with the same purpose, but he comes at the heresies a little differently, the Gospel of John. In the Gospel, John teaches the truth of many matters about Christ by using, however, some of the favorite expressions and words and ideas of the heretics. That is, he'll start off arguing in their language and come to an opposite conclusion. For example, the very beginning of the book, the famous section, Christ is called the Word, which is in Greek the Logos. Well, that was a favorite word of the heretics. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. This is very, very much like the heretics would argue. But then he comes down to an opposite conclusion, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is directly contradictory to the heresies of the day. Contradictory to the idea, their idea that Christ was not the Moses who leads us out of slavery to sin. They didn't view Christ as the Joshua who leads us into the rulership of God under the laws of God. They didn't view Christ as the sacrifice who replaces the sacrifice of the temple. No, but instead, to these heretics, Jesus was the Word only. He was the revelator. He came to reveal our divine inner self. He was just a spirit who came to free our inner spiritual self. And so John writes directly contradictory to those heresies. 6:51, for example. Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I will give is my flesh," which is directly contradictory to the heretics' beliefs. John is also combating their ideas about the scriptures and how they use the scriptures. For example, in the epistles, it's well known, in 1 John 2:4, John writes, "And he saith, he that saith, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now that's being very direct. The heretics do not obey the scriptures. They may use the scriptures allegorically and twist them to their own fables and myths, but they don't actually obey the scriptures. And in John, in the Gospel of John, he's combating that same idea. In, for example, 5:39. "Search the scriptures," Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, to the Jews, "search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are which testify of me." And what do you do with the scriptures? Many times in the book of John, I'll just quote one from John 14:15, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Over and over again in the book of John, "keep my commandments." He uses the hypocrisy, in other words, he's teaching against the heretics of the time by telling the story of Jesus with the Pharisees. He uses the hypocrisy, the insincerity of the Pharisees to illustrate that true believers will show their love of God by their fruits in obedience to God, that they will do what the scriptures say and not just use the scriptures to build their own status, as the heretics did. So those are 3 points I think you should note about the book of John when you read it. It's probably not new to you, but maybe you haven't put it all together recently. One was that the writings are written well after the rest of the New Testament, late in the first century. And secondly, that this is at a time when Judaism and Christianity are completely separated from one another. That accounts for why John speaks of the Jews the way he does. And thirdly, that John is writing against the heretics of the end of the first century. I think John is a very interesting gospel, and hopefully now it's worth a read. And every time you read the Bible, you get something different out of it, depending upon what you're looking for. Well, maybe it's time to read the book of John, looking for those clues about why John wrote it. As you read it, look for the hints that this is being written late in the 90s, and that it's being written in the Gentile world among the Hellenistic Christians. And especially note that the spiritualist and the anti-law doctrines that John is combating, he is combating as he's really retelling the story of Jesus talking to the Pharisees and the main events of Christ's ministry from this, the non-synoptic gospel.